Perry, do you care to share with us that advice my dad gave you under that tree?
I was a student in undergraduate school. I'm 19 years of age at that time. And Carol, I'm affectionate, I call him that. Brother Harold was standing with me under a shade tree. And he said to me, he said, "Barry, if you'll memorize your text,
amen,
and know where it is,
amen." Yeah, I can't listen to preachers who have to look at their Bibles. Sorry. The preacher under whose shadow I dwelt for 57 years looked you in the eye when he quoted God's holy word. He told me that as well, Perry. He also gave me this advice, which was very helpful about preaching. Be yourself. And then, on the day I was ordained, he put his hands on my head, whispered in my ear, and said, "Son, preach the word, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and God will do the rest. Amen." As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The Hebrew word for shadow, tsel, means to cover or protect. Its Greek counterpart, skia, also means to cover or protect. And the Old English, from which we get our word shadow or shade, skiadu, means cover or protect. A shadow is a dark image created when light strikes substance. I sat down under my father's shadow with great delight. My first recollection of his shadow was in the airport at Little Rock, Arkansas, when I was 2 years old, flying with him to a revival meeting. And in a cold rainstorm, he enveloped me in front of that DC-9 and sheltered me, shattered me from the elements. As a child, I was under his shadow in his study at our home, where often he burnt the midnight oil. Some people said he had a photographic memory. In fact, he had a hard-working memory. And what he was able to recite was not merely the product of a gift, but it was the product of hard work. Preachers don't sleep when you should study to show yourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I remember the special sense during the glory days of the First Baptist Church of Jacksonville when I would walk in my father's study as if I were some kind of special priest to enter into the inner sanctum where the high priest was. And I would see my father at his desk the last minutes before he would emerge to preach the word in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Some of the sweetest memories I have of my father's shadow was on sunlit Sunday mornings. Though often not home on Sunday mornings during those days of evangelism, when he was home as an evangelist or as a pastor, if the sun were shining, Daddy was outside. He had his sermon in his head and heart, and I would hear the most beautiful whistling that I ever heard, except for Fred Lowry, if you know who he is. My daddy could sing fairly well, but if you were with him in a tent or in a great auditorium, suddenly there would be a crescendo of beautiful sharpness above every sound. And it was that gift of whistling that God had given him. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, not just as a son, but as a preacher. My daddy has always overshadowed me, and I have never minded. I've rejoiced, taken delight in his shadow. And some of you, maybe all of you, have to some extent been under the shadow of my father as well. Some of you he shadowed as the means of your salvation. Others of you he shadowed as a means to call you to the gospel ministry. But all of us, in some way or another, have been shadowed by Brother Harold, as we will want to call him. And you, like me, sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to your taste. But if Dad were here today, he would say, "Hal, son, wait a minute. It's not my shadow. Why, son, I am only a shadow. Son, you've already said that a shadow is that which is cast when substance is struck by light. The substance is not me, son. I'm just the shadow. The light is not me, son. I'm just a shadow." And so while I could talk to you about my father's shadow, he would not want me to talk to you about that. Yes, he would want me to tell you that he was a mere shadow, now flown. He would want me to speak to you of the substance which cast his shadow, and of the light that struck it. Now the substance of my father's shadow can be summed up in one word. Grace. 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 Over the cockpit of his Mooney, these words inscribe an affirmation of the prevenient grace of God. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy right hand lead me, and thy hand shall hold me. Daddy was aware of the prevenient grace of God, that grace of God before a child of God is born. When he was wrapped in Miss Lena's womb, it was the shroud of prevenient grace that covered him. God's eye saw him being yet unperfect, and in God's book all his members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. On January the 10th, 1926, the ninth of 10 children and the first of 2 twins was born. Robert E. Lee Brunson and his dear wife, Lena. And Miss Celia, the black lady that lived on the peach farm, took my daddy in her arms and she said, "Miss Lena, this one's going to be a preacher." How Miss Celia knew that, I don't know. But I know that it was in the prevenient grace of God that my daddy would be saved by the grace of God, and by the grace of God called to declare the grace of God. That's the substance of his shadow. Not just prevenient grace, but saving grace. If you are saved, you are saved by the grace of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My father was a sinner. My father was a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. That saving grace was the substance of his shadow, as was sanctifying grace. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I remember traveling to many churches early in my ministry because my name was Harold Brunson Jr. And Dad said, "How? If they invite you the first time because you're my son, just be assured if they ever invite you back again, it's because of who you are." I was so blessed to have him as a daddy and Ollie Parker as a granddaddy. And when I would go to those churches, I was so amazed. Scores, hundreds of people would come to me and say, "I love your daddy. Your daddy is the greatest preacher I ever heard. I was converted on your daddy's ministry." And one evening I asked my wife, "Judy, why do people love my daddy so much?" And she said, because he loves them so much. I never knew anyone with a passion for souls such as my father. One Christmas day, his shadow was absent from our home. His shadow was on death row with a young man condemned to die because of a promise to a mother whom he led to the Lord. The substance of my father's shadow was the sanctifying grace of love and joy as well. Often he quoted, "A merry heart does good like a medicine." And you know from hearing him preach, you could be weeping one moment and in the next about to fall out of your pew with humor. Peace. Gentleness. My father was indeed a gentle soul, and the sister of gentleness is kindness. And I often tell people, one of the worst fates of my life is to have lived the last few years with the two kindest people I know, my wife and my dad. They're soulmates in that grace of kindness. And as a sanctifying grace, Dad was a manifestation, a shadow, a proof of the perseverance of the saints of God. He walked through his Red Sea. He sojourned through his wilderness as. But by the grace of God, he endured to the end. And I especially want to thank the Hill Creek Baptist Church of Whitehouse for being Dad's candelabra in the last days of his life, so that he might give testimony to that substance of prevenient grace and saving grace and sanctifying grace of which he was a shadow. Now, I would be greatly amiss if I did not mention preaching grace. What Daddy had, Dr. Holmes, could not be taught. Couldn't be learned. He said when he started preaching and opened his Bible, he thought that Psalm 104 was pism sieve. And that Job was Job. He often referred to himself as an ignorant Mississippi country boy. And he was at heart. He wasn't ignorant. Paul said, "I say unto every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of grace." And one reason we all love my dad so much is because the measure of grace in him was so broad and so wide, especially here. Whereas if he were carved out of the pulpit, as if his gestures were limbs of the wood, as if he was one with the Word of God when he quoted it in voice and body, and moreover, as the Spirit of God moved among us as he preached, we marveled that his speech and his preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. Many men call themselves evangelists, but an evangelist is someone God makes such. And the proof of God making an evangelist will be irresistible spiritual power in preaching. witnessed by the radical conversion of souls. And those of you who saw the wonder of the grace of God in him in preaching in those great revival days have never seen anything like that before or since. My dad was just the shadow there. That was the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. The substance of that preaching we love was grace. But a shadow is created not only by substance, but also by light. When light strikes substance, a shadow is cast. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not that light, but he came to bear witness of that light, that all through him might believe. He came to bear witness of that light that was the true light that lights every man coming into the world. My dad was light struck. In the book Revelation, John sees Jesus with eyes as flames of fire, feet burning like unto brass cast in a furnace, his countenance shining like the sun at its meridian height. And John said, in his right hand, I saw seven stars. And the metaphor of that last image, the right hand, is a metaphor of omnipotence. And the stars in the right hand of the omnipotent Savior are the messengers of the church of God. And the sevenfold brightness, the true ministers of the gospel, are indeed flames of fire. For God maketh his ministers, as it were, flames of fire. Who saw or heard Mike Harmon, or A.D. Livingston, or Michael God, or Harold Brunson preach the gospel, knows that they are light struck by heaven's fire. They burn and shine, as it were, kindle from the very seven lamps of fire before the throne of Almighty God. God help us in this generation of weak pulpits to raise the right arm of Jesus Christ full of burning and shining lights that bear witness to the fiery holiness, to the fiery glory of heaven above. The substance of my father's shadow was grace. The light that struck it was heaven's, not his. My daddy cast the shadow, yes. My daddy was a shadow cast by grace and light, yes. And now, now my daddy is a shadow flung. Often he quoted to me, particularly in the last days of his life, this verse. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. And as a shadow, he fleeth and continueth not. The two ways a shadow can disappear. One is enveloping darkness. When the sun sets on the western horizon and the shadows grow long and gray, when it dies beneath Venus' evening light, the shadows disappear and darkness envelops all. How woeful it must be for the lifeless to look into the face of death and see only darkness. Now, it is a burdensome thing. It is a burdensome thing and a sorrowful thing for me to see my daddy swallowed up by the valley of the shadow of death. But I know that a shadow flies in another way. Not merely the darkness of death, but when the sun is high and lifted up, when the sun is above, no shadow falls. And I believe that my dad has arisen and shines because the glory of the Lord has risen upon him. And that the flying of his shadow is not the falling of darkness, but rather the rising of the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Jesus hanging low on Calvary's brow, swallowed in darkness for my sin and his sin and your sin. And yet by the grace of God, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary's come to see the tomb where he lay, and the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen." We believe that the Son of God, though brought low on Calvary's dark brow, has been raised by the power of God. That all those who've been washed in his precious blood, as they depart this life, fly heavenward to bask forever in the light of the glory of the blessed Son of God. That city, said John, has no need of the sun, for the moon, of the stars to enlighten it. For the glory of God enlightens it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And I believe with all my soul and know by the grace of God that Daddy's shadow has flown because the sun has risen.